I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Greetings once again in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so good to be able to speak with you today and share with you the Word of God. We're going to continue our study today in the book of Romans. We left off last time in chapter 9. We completed that study of chapter 9. Now we go into Romans chapter 10. And I would ask you to get your Bible and open that with me as we study together. Well, let me ask you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to find study helps there that will help you study the Word of God. It will also help you to understand what has taken place in your life if you have just recently received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you have received Him recently, why not write to me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me today, and I'll be glad to send you helps for you, some helps that will help you understand what's taking place in your life now that you are saved and on your way to heaven. Well, today we pick up our study in the book of Romans in chapter 10. The objectives of this chapter is, first of all, to see the importance of combining zeal with knowledge. And it's also to understand that Israel had plenty of opportunity to heed the gospel of Christ. But for the most part, they had rejected it. And third, that salvation is for the Jews and Gentiles alike. In chapter 9, we see that God's sovereignty was emphasized. Now as we move into chapter 10, we see that that man's responsibility is emphasized here. And in verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Once again, Paul is starting here by saying he wants Israel to be saved, his brethren, the people of Israel. And we see in verses 1 through 15 that Israel's refusal of God's righteousness is seen in those verses. But in verses 1 through 4, Paul's expression of concern for Israel is seen. And Paul's deep longing, or his desire, and we've seen this before, and his appeal to God was that the nation of Israel, as well as individuals, if possible, be delivered or saved. And note here that Paul is speaking to saved people in chapter 10 of Romans. He is addressing saints and to the beloved of God, which, of course, is the born-again children of God, our Father, the children of God, of our Father. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So we see that Paul is actually writing the book of Romans to save people. Now we use these verses that's found here to help other people find Jesus as Savior. And there's nothing wrong with that, although Paul's writing to save people. This is also given so that people who do not know Jesus as Savior can see that they need to be saved, and how that these people of the church in Rome had gotten saved, and how that anyone gets saved, even today. And that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. Today. And this is just as fresh today as it was back when Paul penned these words down by the Holy Spirit, that a person is saved by grace through faith. And as we study on here, we see that Paul actually shares the desire of his God and his Savior in these verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Paul wrote this as well. who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Once again, God is no respecter of persons. He gives the same calling to everybody. He will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. That means women as well. He will have all of mankind to be saved. Well, in verse 2 of Romans chapter 10, it says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Paul's speaking of his people now, the Israelites, the Jewish people here. And Paul gives testimony that Israel was enthusiastic for God, but they were wrong in doctrine or the knowledge of the truth. They had the truth. They had the Old Testament. And at this time, the New Testament was completed, but they had the Old Testament scriptures. Paul said that, they had a zeal for God. They wanted to do what was right, but they had been led the wrong way. They did not know. And they had received the wrong doctrine, the knowledge of the truth. In verse 3 of chapter 10 of Romans, it says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They wanted to do it on their own, but Paul says that they had not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. What God wanted them to submit to, he wanted them to submit to him. Now, the word ignorant here connects with the phrase "not according to knowledge" in verse 1, as we've read there. And their lack of right teaching or doctrine meant they were trying their own method of justification based on works or the law and the flesh instead of trusting in God. Now, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, the Bible says this, "For God is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, Christ is the end or the fulfillment of the law. In Matthew 5:17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Christ didn't come to destroy the Ten Commandments or do away with it. He did not come to do away with the Old Testament prophets, the ancestors of these Jewish people. He says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In Galatians 2:21, the Bible says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." If a person could save themselves, if a person could go to heaven on their own merits, then Christ wasted his time and we've wasted our time in believing in him. But the Bible says that we have not wasted our time believing in what he has said, and he did not waste his time coming to the earth to be born of a virgin and die a sinless, he was sinless and he died. He took my sin upon him. He took your sin upon him on that cross. He shed his blood for you and I. He did not waste his life, but he gave his life that you and I could have life. And if we believe on him, if we've trusted him as our Savior, then we're on our way to heaven. And there's no other way, the Bible says. And people need to come to that realization. And just as these Jewish people that Paul's talking about here, they needed to understand that their works of righteousness was not good enough to get them to heaven. And neither is yours, neither is mine. My works of righteousnesses are as filthy rags, according to Isaiah 53. And I need to understand, and I have understood this, that there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, now, the result of fulfilling the law is righteousness. And we've been talking about that to everyone who, by faith, believes God about having faith in Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 say this, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count it but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, the law can show me my unrighteousness, but it cannot give me righteousness. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, what we just read, Paul gives further insight concerning righteousness of the law and the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, now we go to Romans chapter 10 and verses 5 through 15. And we see there the righteousness of the law versus righteousness by faith in Christ. In verse 5 of Romans 10, it says, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." In other words, you've got to keep them all. And describeth in this verse means writes about. In other words, Moses wrote about this. And the question about Moses is from Leviticus 18:5. Or the quotation about Moses is from Leviticus 18:5, and the emphasis is upon the word doeth. Leviticus 18:5 says, "Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." And the gospel, according to law, is if a person has kept the law, then he will live. But the gospel, according to law, is not good news to all when we realize the curse. Failing to fulfill the law is death. And let me remind you once again that no person has ever kept the Ten Commandments of the law but Jesus Christ. No one has ever done that. No one is saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." In other words, he's under the curse. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Jesus Christ was hung on that tree, on the cross. He kept the law perfectly. He's the only one who ever did and the only one who will ever be able to do that. No man is able to keep the law. No person is saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. Not one person has ever done that. Not one. If you've broken one of the commandments of God found in the Ten Commandments, then the Bible says you're guilty of breaking them all. So therefore, by the law there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. Do you know Him today as your Savior? You need to ask Him to come into your heart right now. You need to trust Him to save you so you can go to heaven. If you are saved, you need to be living for Him. You need to do what He wants you to do to help other people find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's been good being with you today, and let me remind you once again to look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. You'll find Bible study helps there, and you can also use the email box there to email me and share with me prayer requests that you have on your heart. Or write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That's Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write to me today and let me know any prayer requests that you'd like for me to pray with you about. Well, until the next time when you hear me say, "It is a good life," my prayer for you is that the Lord will bless you.